To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Thank you, God, for being faithful, for being just, for being pure, for being kind, for being true. I magnify your precious holy name. Thank you for the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, that was shed abroad on the cross at Calvary for my sin and for the sin of all of mankind. God, I honor you this day. I'm your servant. I ask that you speak to me and through me unto your people. Let your will, your plan, and purpose for this message come to fruition in our lives. I give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm always so excited to share the word of God with you. And today I'm coming to you from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. 1 Kings, chapter 18, and I am going to read verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And verse 5 of 1 Kings chapter 18 says, And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. Verse 6, So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Verse 7, And Obadiah was in the way. Behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord had not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Verse 12. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he will slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah says, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Amazing, amazing, amazing. I don't even want to say story because this is so real. This actually happened, this conversation between Obadiah and Elijah the prophet, the great Elijah. It took place. It really happened. And remember, Elijah had pronounced that there would be a famine in the land of Israel, because Ahab, the Bible says Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 2, it says, And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. So Ahab was a wicked king, and he said, the Bible says that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord than any other king in Israel. And what made matters worse, he married Jezebel, Queen Jezebel, who brought in idol worship in the land of Israel. And Obadiah is like, Elijah, I'm not going to tell Ahab that you're here, because when I go to Ahab and says, okay, Elijah, that you've been looking for from nation to nation, from city to city, from town to town, he is here. He says, I'm not going to go to Ahab and say that, because by the time I go to Ahab and come back, the Spirit of God would have taken you away. But the prophet Elijah gives Obadiah a promise. He says, this time I'm going to be here. I promise you, I'm going to meet with this man today. So Elijah had been a fugitive for some time, because he prayed to God and he asked God to let it not rain on the land of Israel for 3.5 years. And there has been a famine in the land. There has been no rain for that time since Elijah prayed. And now God sends Elijah back to Israel. Amen. Because God is getting ready to send the rain. And he encounters Obadiah, and Obadiah is fearful, because he knows that if Elijah is not there when Ahab comes to see him, Obadiah knows that Ahab will take his life. But Elijah promises, and he says, you just go. In 1 Kings 18 and 21, it says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Let me tell you something. The silence is more powerful than words sometimes. Do you hear me? Your silence is more powerful than your words sometimes. And what God is saying to you today, in your silence, your silence is more powerful than your words at times. God says you have to make your choice and you have to stick with it. You have got to make your choice whether or not you're going to serve God or you're going to serve Baal. Amen. So Elijah indeed did meet with Ahab that day. Obadiah did go. He did go, and he did tell Ahab, his master, that Elijah was there. He is back. The man that you're looking for, he is back. And here Elijah calls Ahab and he tells Ahab, look, your wife Jezebel, she has 450 false prophets of Baal that worship Baal. And then she had their 400 prophets of the grove, false prophets of the grove. Elijah said to Ahab, gather the false prophets, the 450 false prophets of Baal, and tell them all to meet me on Mount Carmel. We're going to have a competition here, because you're going to have to make a choice. Israel is going to have to make a choice, and they're going to have to stick with their choice. So Elijah said, meet me on Mount Carmel and tell them to bring two bullocks, one for me and one for them. And we're going to sacrifice. We're going to prepare these bullocks as a sacrifice unto the Lord. I'm going to sacrifice one unto my God, which is Lord and King of all creation, and let them sacrifice unto their God. And we're going to put these sacrifices on the altar, but we're not going to set a fire to the sacrifice. Amen. Elijah said, bring them, because we're going to find out today who is God. Because he said, it is too long that you're halting between two opinions. He says, if the Lord is be God, follow the Lord. And that's what God is saying to you today. If he is God, why don't you just follow him and stop following man? He says, but if Baal is God, then follow God. You're going to have to make a choice. The Bible says, listen, you can't serve two masters. You're going to either love one and hate the other, or you're going to cleave to the other and despise the other. 3 John verse 11 says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. Amen. You can't have your cake and eat it too. There is a king, the king of Moab, in the book of 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. And it says, and when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son, listen y'all, he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead, and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. You are going to have to make a choice between good and evil, is what 3 John verse 11 says. You cannot serve God and man. You cannot worship idols. The Bible clearly says that God is a jealous God. When God gave Moses the commandments to give to the children of Israel, he told them, I am a jealous God. You shall have no other gods before me. The Moabite king was stuck between a rock and a hard place, and he realized that he could not win the battle. Amen. He could not win the battle against his enemies. The battle was sore against him, and he became so desperate. He had one son, and the king sacrificed his son unto an idol. What level of wickedness, what level of madness is this? Amen. Let me tell you something. God does not afflict man willingly. Amen. It is because of disobedience why we are afflicted oftentimes. Hallelujah. It is because of our own self-will that we are afflicted. Amen. Lamentations 3:22 says, it is of the Lord mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. It is because of the mercy of God. It is because of his long suffering. It is because of his patience. It is because of his understanding. It is because he knows that we are mere dust. It is because of his forgiveness. It is because of his grace. It is because of the shed blood of his son, Jesus Christ, why we are not consumed. Consumed by man and consumed by God. It is because of his compassion does not fail, why we are not completely and utterly afflicted and destroyed. It is because God is forgiving. It is because he is merciful. And God is saying, it's time for you to stop. Amen. It is time for you to stop. It is time for you to return to your first love. It is time for you to turn your back on these idols, these people and these places and these things and your family and your friends and these entertainers that you have been idolizing. John 3, 3 John verse 11 again said, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. You don't know God if you're doing evil. You are not in relationship with God if you're doing evil. You are not walking with God if you're doing evil. And God does not afflict man willingly. It is our choices that brings affliction and persecution sometimes into our lives. Amen. The Bible says in Lamentations 3 and verse 40, it says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Search your ways, try your ways, turn to Jesus. Don't fear those who can kill you. Fear God. He's the only one you're supposed to fear. Turn away from evil, because I'm telling you, nobody can stop or prevent the fire of the Lord's anger. I'm telling you, you cannot stop. You cannot prevent the fire of the Lord's anger. And no one that comes against you when you turn from evil and begin to walk in righteousness and holiness and purity and in the love of God, nobody that comes against you when you walk in the fruit of the Spirit can withstand the anger or the wrath of God. God says in his word that vengeance is his. And if you begin to walk with Christ, if you begin to follow Jesus, if you turn to Jesus, he will vindicate you. He will take vengeance for you. He will stand up for you. Hallelujah. And God says to somebody, don't plant seeds among weeds. Do not, because weeds will grow. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 7 and 31 says, and they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. God is saying, listen, God is saying through Jeremiah, listen, these people are building altars to false gods, and they're sacrificing their sons and their daughters in the fire. There are people who are you might not be putting your son or your daughter on a literal altar and burning them with fire, but you're doing it in the realm of the spirit. You're doing it. You're doing these things. And God is saying, I didn't tell you to do those things. Amen. You're doing those things because of your own free will. You're doing those things because of your own desires. Amen. He says, I did not command them to do these things. God did not command any of us to have idols. We're not to idolize our children. We're not to idolize our jobs. We're not to idolize material things. We're not to idolize people. God is serious about these things. Hallelujah. Jezebel brought idol worship into Israel. Ahab was bad enough by himself. And the Bible says to make matters worse, he married Queen Jezebel. Amen. The daughter of the king of the Zidonians. He married Jezebel. She was worse than he was. Amen. So now to add insult to injury, he marries this woman and things became even worse for Israel. Israel turned their back on God, and Jesus is saying to turn your face toward him and turn your back on these idols. There is no king that provoked God more than King Ahab. The Bible says he was the worst. He was the worst, y'all. You might think that what you're doing is a simple thing. And you know exactly who you are, and you know exactly what God is talking to you about today. You might look at what you're doing as a simple thing, but it's not simple to God. God is displeased with you. He is displeased with you. There is a madman in scripture that is mentioned in the book of Acts chapter 25, verse 12. The apostle Paul asked Festus to go before Caesar, the Caesar of Rome, to be judged because the body of Jesus Christ, the leaders then were persecuting Paul and they wanted him to be put to death. And Paul says, I want to go before Caesar to be judged by Caesar, because these people that are believers know that what they're asking, the judgment that they're wanting to bring against me, is not right, because they know that I've done nothing offensive. I have done nothing but preach and teach Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is what Paul is saying in Acts chapter 25. Amen. And he says, I don't want to be judged by them. Let the Caesar judge me. Amen. Because these people, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts chapter 25. And Paul says, no, let me go before the Caesar. And this Caesar in Acts chapter 25 that Paul is talking about, verse 10 to 11, I'm going to read it for you, but let me first tell you. This Caesar supposedly is this Nero. Nero was the emperor of Rome that time. And he was the great nephew of Claudius, who was Caesar then. And he took over as a successor from Claudius. And he was 16 years old when he became the emperor in Rome, and he reigned for some 14 years or so, and supposedly committed suicide at age 30. But during his reign, he did some really horrible things. A man began a murdering spree. Hallelujah. Anybody that he thought was an obstacle, anybody that he thought might potentially become an obstacle, this man murdered. He was so insane in his mind. He killed his wife, he killed his stepbrother, and he killed his mother. This is how insane he was. And this is the man that Paul is saying in Acts chapter 25, verse 10 to 11. He says, then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. This is crazy to me. Nero is a madman. And Paul is saying, I'd rather go stand before this Nero than to stand and be judged by you all. And that is so sad. Paul is saying, I'd rather be judged by this insane man, Nero, than to be judged by you Jews. Come on. He says, because you know that I have done no wrong. I have done nothing but preach and teach Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm going to read verse 10 of Acts chapter 5 again. Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. He says, listen, I have a better chance standing before Caesar than standing and being judged by you. It is a shame that a fellow believer is saying, I have a better chance of standing and being judged by the world than being judged by the church. That is shameful. He says, because I have done nothing. He says in verse 11, if I have been an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. He says, let me die if I have committed some sin worthy of death. But preaching Christ crucified does not make me worthy of death. Hallelujah. Me preaching Christ crucified brings life to people. This is what Paul is saying. Me preaching Christ crucified does not warrant me being put to death. But he says, if I've been offensive, then let me die. If I am worthy of death, Paul said, let me die. But he says, no, I have done nothing worthy of death. And he says, you guys know that too. But you guys, as the body of Jesus Christ, have a problem, is what Paul is saying. We have a problem, is what God is saying. The church has a problem, is what God is saying. The church continues to persecute my people. Jesus Christ said to the same Apostle Paul when he was on his road to Damascus, going to persecute more Christians, when he got the letters from these very same high priests, gave him letters to go into Damascus to arrest anybody, any believer, and bring them back to Jerusalem to be sentenced or put to jail or put to death or whatever. Amen. This very Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, encountered Jesus Christ on that very road to Damascus. Hallelujah. The same people that gave him letters to go kill Christians are now turning around and trying to kill him. And he says, you know what? I didn't understand then, Festus. I didn't know what I was doing, Festus. I thought I was doing God a favor, Festus. But I realized that I was wrong, Festus. Amen? I realized that I was wrong. And these people are people that I once worked with. These people are people that I once stood with against the body of Jesus Christ. But I am telling you, I was spiritually insane, is what the Apostle Paul is saying. And they are spiritually insane. Amen. I was once blind, is what the Apostle Paul is saying. But they remain blind, is what the Apostle Paul is saying. He says, I was so spiritually blind. I was seeing physically, but I was spiritually blind. But it wasn't until I encountered Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus that I began to see spiritually. He said he had to blind me spiritually for me to begin seeing. He had to blind me physically, I beg your pardon, for me to begin seeing spiritually, is what the Apostle Paul said. He says, I was once blind, but now I see. He says, I was once lost, but now I am found. And he says, all I'm doing is preaching Christ crucified. Amen. I'm preaching Christ crucified because he really did die. Amen. He really suffered. He bled. He died on my behalf. And for this cause, they want to kill me. He says, I'd rather stand in front of the madman named Nero than to be judged by the body of Jesus Christ. No, no, no. No, no, no. For the Apostle Paul to feel safer being judged by Nero? Oh, no, no, no. That tells me the body of Christ is in a very bad way, not just today, back then, even then, from the days of old. Hallelujah. Verse 12 of Acts 25 says, then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Festus said, what? You appeal to Caesar? You rather go before Caesar than to be judged by us? He says, well, unto Caesar shalt thou go. In other words, Festus is like, you don't know that Caesar is a madman? You stand no chance before Caesar. This is what Festus is saying. You've appealed unto who? Caesar? I told you, during Nero's reign, Nero started to murder everything and everybody. I'm thinking if Nero was so insane, he was so demonically possessed, I feel like if a leaf blew too hard in front of Nero, he probably crushed that leaf in anger. He murdered his mother. He murdered his wife. He killed his stepbrother. And Paul said, I'd rather stand in front of that madman than stand in front of you so-called believers. Let me tell you something. People's unwillingness when Elijah the prophet showed up. And he says in 1 Kings 18:21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord God be Lord God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. The people's unwillingness to choose or to make a decision or to even say anything showed their lack of response. Shows your lack of response to God. Shows your irreverence to God. Amen. You have to make your choice and you have to stick with your choice. You have to choose good or you have to choose evil. That's what the book of 3 John 11 says. You have to make a choice. You cannot have your cake too. You cannot continue to run around. Amen. God doesn't afflict man willingly. It is because of our choices. Amen. Why we are afflicted. Hebrews 2:6 says, but one in a certain place testifying, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Who are we that God considers us? Who are we that he wants to have mercy on us? Who are we that he even forgives us? We are so evil. The heart of men are wax old and dark and wicked. Amen. Who are we? The Bible says, listen, they're reprobates. They don't want to change. People want to hear what people want to hear. People want to go to churches where they're saying the things that they want to hear, where there is no conviction, where they're not taught that they're in error, where they're not taught that they're in sin and they must come out of sin. They're not taught, like the Apostle Paul says, there's pleasure in sin, but the end of it leads to destruction. People want to go into sanctuaries where there is no correction, there's no reproof, and there's no rebuking going on. And this is what Elijah says. Today we're going to find out who is God. He says, the God that answers by fire, he is God. He says, get one bullock for yourself. Bring one for me. Cut up your bullock. Put it on the altar and go ahead and call your God and let him send down fire and burn that sacrifice. And Elijah says, I'm going to call on the Lord and he's going to send down fire. And he says, the Lord that answers by fire, he is God. You've got to answer. To stand by and just have your mouth shut, you're just as guilty. It just shows that you're irreverence to God. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 18, that Elijah says, listen, gather the people on Mount Carmel, because today we have to make a decision. You have to make a decision and you have to stick with your decision. You have to make a choice and you have to stick with it. He says in 1 Kings 18:24, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, okay, it's well. They answered then, but when Elijah said to them, make a choice. Why are you halting between two opinions? It's either you're going to serve God or you're not. It's either you're going to serve the devil or you're not, but you got to pick a side. The Bible says in Revelation, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but because you're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm, you're in the middle, I'm going to spew you out. God says, I'm going to throw you in the lake of fire. You have to make a decision. You don't get a choice. You don't get to have your cake and eat it too. The Bible says it. You have to make a choice and you have to stick with it. You have to make a decision today because tomorrow is promised to no man. The reason I'm able to preach and teach and hold firmly to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, and tell it to everybody that will allow me to minister to them. Amen. The reason I'm able to do it, the reason I have courage to do it, to speak up and stand up for the things, the word of the Lord, is because of the presence of the precious Holy Spirit of God on the inside of me. That is why. That's who gives Christians the courage to speak and to stand up for truth. Amen. I made a choice and I'm sticking with it. I'm going to preach Christ and him crucified. Like the Apostle Paul said, I'd rather a madman judge me than the church, because the church is in such disarray. The church is a mess today. The church is a mess today and the world is watching. The world is watching our response to the good news of Jesus Christ. If we won't make a choice between good and evil, why would the world want to make a choice? Why would the world want to change? The Moabite king, he was stuck between a rock and a hard place. He was a worldling. He served idols. He was so wicked, he put his own son on an altar and sacrificed his son to an idol because he was not winning a battle. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was put on an altar. God put his own son on an altar and sacrificed him on the cross for us. He died that you might live. He died so you don't have to die again. You have to turn to Jesus and turn your back on these idols. Idols don't have eyes so they cannot see. They do not have ears so they cannot hear. They don't have mouth so they can't speak. These men, these 450 false prophets of Baal, went from morning till night calling Baal, 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 oh, Baal, Baal, Baal. The Bible says they started to cut themselves with lancets and sharp instruments, on the blood gushed out, calling Baal to send down fire. There is only one God, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he is the way, the truth, and the life, people. You can't have any other gods but God. God is, he's the only way, the truth, and the life. There's no other God. And anything that you're worshiping, you've made a God. If you're worshiping your husband, you've made him your God. If you're worshiping your wife, you've made her your God. If you're worshiping your children, you've made them your God. If you're worshiping your pastor, you've made him or her your God. And God is a jealous God. We have to be careful. You have to make a choice. The things that you think are so simple, they're not simple with God. You think that Nero got away with this wickedness? Listen, many Christians Nero had crucified. Amen? He put the skin of beasts on the Christians. Hallelujah. And then made the dogs to rip them asunder until they perished. Listen, this is the worst thing that he did to me. Crucifying people is horrible. That's terrible. What these believers went through was very bad. But what really gets me is Nero used the human beings. He used the church. He used the believers. Amen? As torches to light his garden evening, garden parties. He put them on fire. He put them on stakes and he burned them alive and used their burning bodies as torches to light his evening garden parties. Why? It was said that Nero, there was a great fire in Rome, and everybody said that Nero was responsible for the fire. And what Nero did, he deflected the focus off of himself and he put it on the believers. He blamed the believers and he tortured and killed them because of this. You see, Nero was a madman. There are many madmen and women in the world today that are really and truly persecuting believers. There are many believers that are being martyred every single day as I speak. Right? You might not be physically killing someone, killing a believer, putting them to death physically, but can I just tell you, when you persecute, when you injure, when you blaspheme, when you do those things in your thoughts or with your words, you're still doing what Nero did. You're persecuting, you're murdering, you're torturing, you're crucifying, you're killing believers with your words. And we have to stop these things. We have to stop the secret persecutions. We have to stop. Paul said, I'd rather go in front of Nero than to be judged by the church. Understand, it's the same people that Paul stood and held the coats off when they stoned young Stephen to death. These are the same men that are trying to get the death penalty for the Apostle Paul because he turned his back on them, his then idols, and turned his face towards Jesus. So now they're ready for him to be put to death. Can I tell you, please don't be like those people. Don't be like those people. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to continue to strengthen you. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to encourage you and to guide you. Amen? Allow the Holy Spirit of God to be your guide. You know, I love this scripture. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You don't ever lose in Christ. You see, men will disappoint you. People will disappoint you. Your family will disappoint you. Your friends will disappoint you. Amen? Your ministry, your pastor will disappoint you. God will never disappoint you. You will lose things. You will lose friends. You will lose people. You will lose family members. But you will never lose in Jesus. Turn around and face Jesus. Amen? God is who he says he is. Stop persecuting people in your mind. Stop persecuting people with your thoughts. Stop killing people in your heart. Amen? Stop. Begin to walk with Jesus and not away from him. Walk with him, not away from him. Turn your back on those who you are fearful of and idolizing. Do those things that are pleasing to God. Stop standing and holding the coats of the murderers of your fellow believers. Stand up for those things that are right. Stand up for those things that are pure. Stand up for those things that are just and those things that are true. Don't stand and hold the coats of the murderers of fellow believers in your church. Do not hold their coats and do not stand there and stone people to death with your mouth, stoning people to death with your eyes, stoning people to death with your thoughts. You have to stop putting God's people to death with your thoughts. Hallelujah. Don't stand there and hold the coats of those who refuse to turn to Jesus. Not because someone has a title means that he or she is on the right path. The Apostle Paul says, listen, these people well know that I am innocent. All I do is speak the truth. And Paul said they want to kill me for speaking the truth because, you see, they want God's glory. And Paul is saying, I was once like them. I didn't understand. I didn't know what I was doing. But I made a choice, is what Paul said, to change my mind and to follow Jesus and to turn away from idols, turn away from these foolish traditions, is what Paul is saying. When he encountered the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, he came to his senses, what Paul is saying. He was going to into Jerusalem to gather believers, to take into Damascus to gather believers, to take them back to Jerusalem, to have them put in prison or killed or whatever. And he encountered Jesus. And the same person that he was going to persecute is one of them that God used to lay hands on him, baptize him, and restore his sight. Your sight needs to be restored. If the blind need the blind, guess what happens? They both fall in a ditch. 1 Kings chapter 18 and 36. And it says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. You see, when you pray, things change. I said to you, don't stand with those who are stoning the believer. Don't stand with those who are stoning that person in your church. Don't join in on the gossip. Listen, the Bible says the tongue is an unruly member. Amen. It's the worst member of your body, your tongue. 1 minute your tongue is speaking good, the next minute it's speaking evil. 1 minute it's giving life, the next minute it's killing. God says, stop holding the coats of the people that are stoning that young woman. Stop holding the coats of the people that are stoning that young man. Don't hold their coats. Don't stand idly by. Pray like Elijah prayed. Elijah prayed and said, please, Lord, let these people see that you're God today. And let these people understand that I am your servant. You don't pray murdering prayers. You don't pray prayers to crucify people. You don't pray prayers to stone people to death. Pray that God opens their hearts and open their eyes and open their understanding, that they could know that God really and truly sent you. Amen. And he is using you. And let him open their eyes, their spiritual eyes, to see that he really and truly is God. Paul says, I plant, Apollos water, but it's only Holy Spirit that brings the increase. No one can get sight unless God give it. No one can begin seeing unless God give it. But they won't begin seeing if you don't start praying. Amen? Start praying. And God will answer. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. When you speak, God hears. Amen? He hears. 2 Timothy 3 and 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecutions. That's the Bible. I didn't make it up. If you are living Christ-like, you're going to suffer persecution. But Isaiah says, listen, God will give you wings to mount up as eagles. You will run and not be weary and walk and not faint. God told Joshua, be strong and be courageous. Amen? God says, don't take vengeance. Vengeance is his. He will repay. He is who he says he is. Don't fear those who can kill you. Fear God. Amen? Fear God. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 9. Let's just go there, then I'll wrap up. 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 through 9. I beg your pardon. And it says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. You hear that? False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You hear that? Despisers of those that are good. Having a form of godliness. Very important that you hear that. Having a form of godliness. Church people in the church are not godly. Having a form of godliness. Paul said they want to put me to death and they know I've done nothing wrong. They have a form of godliness. The Bible says they're like sepulchres. They're like graves. They painted white on the outside, but inside they're decaying, they're rotten, they're no good on their inside. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of what? God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. A form of godliness, but they don't want to listen to God. They don't want to follow God. They don't want to obey God. From such turn away, God says, run away from these type of people. We are living in perilous times. Turn away from them and turn to Jesus. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul was a very intelligent man. He was very intelligent. He was book smart, but he didn't know who Jesus was until he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. And after that, he learned and he was able to come to the knowledge of the truth of who Jesus Christ is. But God is saying these people, they're always learning. These church people, they're always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Jannes and Jambres, what are their names again? In the book of Numbers, when they withstood Moses and God sent the earthquake and gave them all a one-way ticket to hell. Yes, them, Jannes and Jambres. or the elders who withstood Moses in the wilderness? Always trying to come against the person that God is using to preach, to minister the word of truth to you. Always want to rise up against the preacher. Always want to rise up against God's chosen. They rose up against the Apostle Paul. They rose up against Moses. They rose up against David. Always rising up against those who are ministering the word of truth. But God says in 2 Timothy 3:9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. God is saying your foolishness is going to be seen, as theirs was also, because God never changes. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. In good and evil, because Lamentations 3:22 again says, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. So God will save you. You just have to come to repentance. You just have to stop sacrificing to these idols. You have to stop idolizing people. Amen? Stop idolizing people. God is supposed to be your only idol. Him alone you're supposed to idolize. Hallelujah. Oh my gosh. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. God bless you. Until next time.